This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Today, in things you didn't know about Marketplace listeners, it turns out a whole bunch of you are curious about recycling. We've been all but inundated with questions about bottles and cans and semi-moldy milk containers. Questions about how it's done.
Are the boxes and bags of mixed stuff sorted by an assembly line of people or by a machine?
Questions about whether it's really worth doing.
Does recycling actually make economic and environmental sense when taking everything into account?
And questions about what happens if you are a bad recycler.
What if you don't wash out your plastic chocolate cheesecake container?
I know, right? That was In Order, Art Witulski in Nashville, Tennessee, Craig Morton in Philadelphia, PA, and Terry McCarthy in Racine, Wisconsin, supplying the fodder for our series, I've Always Wondered.
If you wonder...
By asking 1,000 questions to get one answer... My brain work and blade.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is here with the answers.
I'm looking at a mountain of trash. Recyclables, technically, but literally it's 2 or 3 stories tall and from recycling bins all over New York City. It's in a 50,000 square foot warehouse on a Brooklyn pier, and truck by truck, it is getting bigger.
These are the trucks and sanitation workers that go to every single household, every single building in the city once a week.
That's Thomas Outerbridge, general manager of Sims Municipal Recycling, and they will recycle this mountain.
This is meant to be just 100% metal, glass, and plastic, and as you can see, there's a piece of a cardboard box. You'd be able to find a sneaker in there, somebody's sweatshirt.
I feel like I should just apologize to you. I'm sorry for the yogurt that was still in the container, and I'm sorry for the soda bottle that was possibly mostly full.
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice when people rinse things out, but we accept the fact that it's not going to be perfect.
That's Tom being nice. They actually have to shut down all the plant's machinery once a week, in part to clean out all that rancid milk and dried cheesecake and disgustingness out of the equipment. And then it oozes onto a conveyor belt as a black paste to get thrown out.
Sort of the gunk that collects everywhere.
This is my fault.
A little bit of yogurt and dirt and grit and...
So what happens to the cheesecake you leave in the plastic container? This does. If a garbage truck and an oil spill had a baby, and then that baby threw up, this is what it would look like. On to the next question, how do they separate all the stuff in single-stream recycling?
You hear the conveyor start to run.
2 miles of conveyor belts twist and turn their way up and down like a pile of spaghetti 4 stories tall, whisking trash from one machine to the next. First machine is what they call the Liberator.
It's like a big slow-speed shredder.
It rips open and smashes everything, and then they can sift out all the glass shards.
This big drum magnet is now, as you can see, it's pulling off all of your ferrous metal.
Pans and pipes and cans go flying, and for the real trick, separating all the different types of plastic.
Here's your first optical sorter.
One of the conveyor belts shoots through a stretch of blinding white light, which a computer uses to tell plastics apart by the spectrum of light they reflect.
When it identifies a plastic object, it will tell the computer where it is on the conveyor belt, and there's a bar of air jets that will then fire on that PET bottle or clamshell, whatever it is, and it will fall onto a different conveyor belt.
There's actually a ton more steps. Special electromagnetic fields to catch aluminum and copper, and finally some conveyor belts get a quick check by humans for random bits and pieces.
Somebody found a $100 bill on the picking line. Christmas time, we basically put it in a big envelope and raffle it off.
Speaking of money, next question. Does all of this transporting, smashing, and sorting make economic sense? Well, maybe the best measure of recyclable materials value is the illegal things people will do to get it.
People steal it all the time.
Catherine Garcia is New York City's sanitation commissioner.
They steal off the curbs. The Business Integrity Commission did a sting operation where someone, I think, stole $1 million worth of paper.
Bottle makers and fabric makers and paper makers pay money for recyclables. And when the market price of those materials goes up above a certain point, the city gets to share in the profits. Prices are actually really low right now. It's actually a tough time in the industry. But even when prices are high, it doesn't cover the cost to the city of collecting and recycling.
No, it doesn't.
But you know what's more expensive than recycling? not recycling.
Our disposal costs are about 20% less for recycling than for refuse. It's cheaper because you can actually make money on it.
Which brings us to a question that several of you have asked. How is it that recycling is worth it when you have to clean and crush and melt everything down? That's what's happening to tons of glass, for example, at the Owens, Illinois demonstration plant in Perrysburg, Ohio.
It's actually very efficient.
That is Ron White, Chief Process Improvement Officer at Owens, Illinois. They are a glass company.
Last year, we melted 12.3 million tons of glass. We formed 40 billion containers. They hold wine, they hold spirits, they hold food.
38% of that was from recycled glass, and they want to increase that to 60%.
When we use recycled content, we generate savings around 30%, and we actually reduce our carbon emissions by almost 50%.
The reason is that chemically, it's actually easier to melt glass that's already been made than it is to melt down the mixture of raw sand and lime they need to make brand new glass. So it takes a lot less fuel. Recycling aluminum takes 95% less energy than making new aluminum. And to answer the last question, whether recycling has actually reduced the need for landfills, Sharon Knice heads the National Waste and Recycling Association. They're an industry group.
So we haven't seen an increase in what has gone to landfills since 2000. Any increase in waste that we have seen in this country has really gone to recycling.
Kenise says recycling was available to 500 communities 20 years ago. Now it's available to 10,000. 90% of the population can recycle if they want to.
Recycling has really evolved and blossomed in this country in the last two decades.
Not just because it's good for the environment, but also because you can make money doing it. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
If you've got a question for us, and I know you do, you can ask it on our website, marketplace.org.